Yeah,
you're good to go.
Facebook messaged me, said you get your tickets were sold out. I said, yeah, Frank Patron hit me up.
Call the meeting to order. I've got 7 o'clock on the dot.
I thought we were ready, but okay. We can look at pictures of your vacation.
Approval of I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of April 9th.
So moved.
Ron, second. Don, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we'll pass that around. We have no resolutions. For the record, we do have the sheriff's report for the month.
I got it.
Which looks good.
I got a question for Paul, if I could.
Wow, good thing he showed up. Okay, yes.
Since he's here. Okay. I got into an argument with somebody the other day, Paul, and I want about the budget. What was your recommend? Do you remember what your recommended budget was for Borden's?
1.2. It's 1.199.
And the executive suggested 900,000.
No, what had happened was I was suggesting that, and then we upped it because there was some issues with some funding.
Right.
And they said, well, if you can make some more money in Borden's. So we went out on a limb and upped it to that.
Okay. All right.
And I'm pretty confident we'll
make it. Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, we're $100,000, you know, or, you know, 40, 20, 20, 20. I mean, we're gonna beat what we budgeted, and what we budgeted was... Well, we're going to make it to the end of the year before they get pods, so it's going to be next year that's going to be impacted by pods.
We
got a contingency plan for that, is my question.
We're working on a couple different plans, and we're also trying to figure out what we should budget for next year.
Hey, okay. 2015. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, Pete.
Also, congratulations again, and I'm glad we can do this every month with your guys in Urgent and, you know, the stuff they've been doing. It's been excellent. And also, for the record, I had an ambulance call about a week or so ago, and your officer, Becker, was not only helpful, but a gentleman, and really made a difference. And so, for the record, and for you.
I taught him everything he does.
Yeah, he's good. He did try to get me to run over the car with the ambulance to get new ones, and I said, you know, I don't know if we can quite go that far because the sheriff might not talk to me ever again, but I said, we'll work on a plan, though. So, but no, for the record, seriously,
thank you.
It was a difficult call, and he was very helpful, as your guys always are. But I'd like to get the record. Also note Peter Lord. Fire advisory board presentation. Ken, this is your baby. I'll let you run it.
I'd like to introduce Greg Greer, Tom Plans, and John Quick. I wanted to say Mike. I don't know why I wanted to call you Mike tonight. And John Quick. And everybody knows Bill Ecker from last time. This is a presentation by a subcommittee of the fire advisory board on a fire training center. And who's going to take the lead? And then I'll give the Tom.
Guess
who's going to take
me.
The lead, and I'll give the privilege over to you to continue.
Okay, these are all the people that were on the subcommittee. Greg sitting here, he's our veteran instructor. He's the oldest instructor in Ulster County, maybe even
and the hardest
longest,
working, I would say,
longest one in the state, maybe even two. He's approaching that, so he's been teaching for an awful lot of years. Kevin Keller's the chief of Bloomington. He's also on the fire advisory board. He is on vacation right now. Rich Parrish is our county EMS coordinator. He couldn't be here tonight. Myself, John Quick, and some of you might know Ken Rock. So anyhow, the problem that we recognized is that there is a lack of approved, and I underlined approved, training facilities for live fire training in the county. If we're going to continue going the way we are, there's got to be a safe and approved. You got to look at those words that meet the NFPA standards for fire and emergency personnel. You can't do it like you used to do. Somebody used to donate a house, we'd go out, we'd settle on fire, we'd do some training. Can't do that anymore, right? You'd have everybody in the world down on you. It's against all the standard. So the fact is, there is no Ulster County owned training facility. We have several privately owned ones around, but when it comes to burning, you're very limited there again. So looking in a wider scope, we're the only one in the Hudson Valley that doesn't have one. So what do we do? First of all, let's define what a training center is, okay. the core of the training center for us is the burn building, an approved burn building where you can go in. It's got to meet the NFPA standards, right? That's the big thing to do. We're doing classes right now. We just finished the firefighter one in Ulster. We're going to start one in July in Highland. They got to go to Dutchess County to do their live burns.
And Dutchess County is out right now.
Dutchess County is down right now. They're hoping it's going to be up in July when it comes time to do the burns for that course. There's only one other place we can go, and that's Walker Valley, but we'll talk about that later. The other thing you need for the training center that goes right along with the burn building is the water source. Actually, you're supposed to have two water sources. One of them can be on wheels, like a tanker, a truck, whatever like that. Classrooms, they don't have to be there in the beginning, but classrooms are nice if you can consolidate everything. And we'll talk about shared services. Garage and storage, very important. That's one common thing that we saw at all the training centers that we visit. You say, big deal, garage, okay, but we'll talk about that more too. The other thing is joint usage. This is not a fire training center. This is going to be an emergency services training center. It can be used by fire, it can be used by EMS, it can be used by police. Number of things, you'd go to some of the other counties, they even they don't rent it out, but they do as a public service. They let some of the utilities like Central Hudson or somebody like that use it, okay? We did our research. We did the four counties around us shown on the map there, and these were the four county-owned facilities, Orange, Sullivan, Green, Dutchess, and we looked at three private facilities where you can burn. Well, you used to be able to burn, put it that way, okay? Woodstock is done, and you're going to see pictures of all these later on in the presentation. Woodstock, you can't burn her anymore. The building is in such bad shape, they won't certify it to burn. It's falling apart. They're looking at rebuilding a small room on the side just to do burns in and keep the others, but we'll talk about that when we see the pictures. Town of Ulster right now, that's down too. Can't burn in there. They got some structural problems. John is familiar with that. He's on the board of directors.
We just had our concrete work restored at the tune of $20,000. We have an additional $10,000 of some shield work and whatever to do yet, and we don't have an expected uptime for that facility. And it's, as Tom said, it's privately owned.
Okay, the other thing we did, we interviewed the key personnel at each one of these sites, who was involved with it, who, some in cases it was who got it started. We talked to our instructors. You know, we have both New York State instructors and we have county fire instructors. We have two county instructors, okay. Starting our tour, the first one we went to, you can see there was snow on the ground when we went there, Orange County. This is probably one of the biggest ones that we saw, or the biggest one out of the four that we saw. Okay, very large building. Walking down the main corridors, there's offices left and right here. You go all the way down the end, left and right are the classrooms. Typical classroom, not going to spend a lot of time on there, right? You've seen one classroom, you've seen them all. Some are bigger, some are smaller. Walking outside, this is the important stuff to us anyhow, okay? This is a mass confidence building. Don't really burn in this building. This is full of mazes and little traps and everything where you have a firefighter crawl through with SCBA on. Notice the doors all along the side so the instructor can get in case a guy freaks out or whatever, and that happens sometimes. This is the Orange County burn building, the present one. It's now under construction to the tune of 2.2 mil, just for that building.
Okay, just to rebuild.
It's deteriorated, and it was...
Thanks, Ken.
If you see use and abuse, okay?
If you see the dark on the corners, that's steel that they had to put in to hold it together.
Yep. All right. He's talking about on the corners there. Now, when you get inside, you look at it, you know, obviously you don't do any burning in here because it's wood holding the roof up. So they burned in another room, had small burns in an adjoining room, but nothing in here anymore. Walking past the burn building, got a pond. They could do pump operations practice in there. They could do pump tests in there. There's some big concrete barriers in there, and you see front and back where you can direct a stream of water back so it all goes back into the pond. Breathing air compressor, kind of important. You start doing these burns inside, you go through a tank of air, it's nice to have a compressor right there on site to fill it up so that the guy doesn't have to bring a half a dozen cylinders with him from his own department. This is their high-rise simulator. They don't really burn in this building. Railroad tank car. There's an 18-wheeler tanker laying on its side that they do training on. Okay, let's move over to Sullivan County. Now, I tried to get a picture of each one of their the logos so we knew where we were in this little tour that we did, right? Another typical classroom. They do, most of them are going to these smart boards. I don't know if you're familiar with them, where you can do a PowerPoint like this and you write on it with a stylus instead of a dry marker or something. And you say, okay, boy, I like that. I could store that. You can store it right in the PowerPoint and use it the next time. Or you can erase it, do whatever you want. So these smart boards are becoming a big thing. This is the modern style burn building. This is Sullivan County's burn building, and you'll see a couple more of these, slightly different iterations. Metal buildings, some of them are metal with concrete walls inside, some of them are metal and metal, but they're all built to a specific standard. This one, like I say, is metal and metal. Usually what they do, they'll burn in that, in some kind of a container or a tub there, just to keep it confined and makes the cleanup a little bit easier. Water source, we talked about that at the beginning. Very important to have a water source. Nice pond that you can draft from right down the bottom of that paved road. Some of the other props that are around the training center, that's a roof simulator, so firefighters can practice working on roofs, standing on roofs, opening up, cutting roofs, whatever. It looks like a bunch of trash there, but that's the fuel for the burn buildings, right? That's usually what you burn as a pallet inside. I mentioned garages before. Okay, this is Sullivan County's building. The classrooms are over here. And nice big garage you can access from both sides. And you say, what's the big deal about a garage? Well, the other thing we talked about was shared services. It's not just for fire vehicles or EMS vehicles. The sheriff's department down here uses them. Okay? They got their, SWAT? SWAT vehicle, for lack of a better term. And you'll see a couple of these around at the different counties. That's their mobile command post. Some boats. Let's move on to Greene County. I was really impressed with this. Little Greene County up there. What's their revenue stream compared to Ulster? Got to be a fraction, right?
Well, it's not a fraction, but it's lower.
Beautiful center. This is the entrance to the building. You walk in, and when you look down, watch this guy coming in there. You walk in, you take a left, that's the 911 center down there. Amazing fact, isn't it? Put a 911 center in with a county-owned training building. This is one of their classrooms. They have two that are set up like this, to hold 40 students. But this one also doubles as an EOC. How many years did we go without an EOC, right? We used to use Art Snyder's office in the back, and we thought that was great because it had two extra phone lines in it. You can't, it just doesn't work. Then we went to the state police barracks, which was almost underwater in one of the hurricanes. It was like on an island. So, this is their big classroom down in the basement. This will hold 80, and there's not a bad seat in the house. You can see there's overhead flat screens on both sides. So if you're sitting near the back and you can't read the screen up there, you can read it off the flat screen. Once again, everything's tied into the smart projector. Greene County, another big garage. I said that was a common thing among all these, right? Everybody's got a big garage. What do they keep in there? Their hazmat vehicle. We don't have a hazmat vehicle because we contract with the City of Kingston to do our hazmat services, so they garage the vehicle. We don't have to worry about that. But also in a building, their command post. For many years, our command post sat outside. Technically, it's still outside, right? But we have a roof over it now, so it's protected somewhat. But this is their mass casualty trailer. Ulster County just got a mass casualty trailer within the last, 2 months? Anybody know where it is?
I do.
It's in New Paltz Rescue Building, a private building once again, right? Yep. Moving down out of the building in Greene County, this was their tower that they practice laddering, rappelling, rope work, everything. They don't burn in that. Everything is fenced in. They got a sign-in, sign-out procedure. That's what Rich Parrish is reading on the gate there. This is their burn building, and this is the newer style, like I said before, the metal. You can also do other things like do roof work. You can see there's different accesses to the roof.
We used to burn in every room of a tower, all right? But because of the type of construction, we're not able to do that anymore. So otherwise we'll destroy the tower because it's metal with so much protectiveness inside each burn room.
This is one of the things on the newer buildings that helps keep everything under control. It's a temperature monitor, right? They don't want you in this tower to go above 800 degrees. So you can monitor it from there. It'll get recorded. And oh, by the way, if anybody gets hurt and they end up going to the hospital, that can be subpoenaed for a record. What did the instructor do? How did he let it get too hot in there? So this is taken from the roof of their training tower. This down here was a pit that they used to flood and have a propane burn in there. This is their pond with a draft source and dry hydrant. You'll see that in the next picture. Dry hydrants as opposed to a pressurized hydrant like you have in a city, right? You have to hook up the fire truck to it and draft with it. You don't open a valve and water spurts out at you. You got to hook suction hose up to that and prime and draw the water out of there. Let's move across the river to Dutchess County. Beautiful building. This was an old folks' home or something at one time, wasn't it? That's what I was told. Anyway. But anyhow, this is their big classroom, tiered, very nice. This is their burn building, which is going to go down, or it is done right now, I guess. Yeah.
They're redoing the burn rooms. Right.
And you'll see why. They started. There's a little handwritten thing on there. The first burn was, 621?
2004.
You also see NFPA 1403 up there. This is their high-rise simulator. They don't burn in there. They practice laddering, rope work, etc. And some of the props you see down here are for fast team training, bailout training, that kind of stuff. They do car work over here. They burn cars, they cut cars, tanker, etc., etc. All stuff that's acquired over the years. This is a room they do not burn in this one either. This is one they use for fast team training. They practice breaching walls and things like that. That's Kevin Keller standing there in the background, the chief of Bloomington. He couldn't be here tonight. Their high-rise training building, looking at it from another side. This is a roof simulator. They practice ventilating roofs. That just tells us where we were. We were in Dutchess County, okay? Let's move on to the privately owned ones. This is probably the most modern one, and this is the only place in Ulster County where you can do a legal burn down with firefighters. Greg is a member of the Walker Valley Fire Department. This building replaced an old tower that they had there. I think it was, 100% labor, volunteer labor?
Mm-hmm. On that tower?
Yeah.
Except for Watchtower Farms came in and poured the concrete for the floor. Right, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
And I think the figure you gave us, you probably had 500,000 in materials in that building.
That's about 500.
It's a modern one. It's controlled. It's monitored. The difference between this one and the other one, you'll see this one has concrete walls instead of metal walls. These are concrete panels.
No, they're
the burn panels.
They're burn panels.
Burn panels. But it's a concrete material, right?
Each somewhat.
Each panel, and the panel, you can see the size of them. Each panel is approximately $300. All right. Walker Valley just replaced two.
What do we figure, 30, 50 panels a room?
Yeah, approximately. They figure around 10,000.
Yeah.
Even them on the door.
Yeah.
This is the Ulster Training Center. This is not the burn building. This is the laddering and rappelling training that they do in this building. Roof simulator. This is their water source, the pond, and that is the burn building that you see in the background down there. That one is also out of service now. Can't burn in there. That's a combination. That has an oil fire too, right, John?
Yes, it does.
You can build up temperature with oil in there without actually burning. It'll heat it up, but it's not the same. You don't go in and put water in the oil burner and put it out like you do with the fire in the other ones. Ulster Training Center, one classroom. Kind of small, but once again, it's privately owned. They build it with their own funds.
Yeah, we actually have two. We have one in the basement as well.
Is there?
That the police department comes and uses. We do that graciously, And they also, you know, use that for some classes when they're teaching over to the range next door that we do graciously as well.
The firearms range.
The firearms range, right. So our facility that is privately owned, we do allow all of the police agencies in Ulster County, if they're up that way, to use it at no cost to anybody.
And some of the legislators will remember that we use the town of Ulster range for our deputies as well.
Moving on to Woodstock, this is probably the oldest one in Ulster County, I think. Can't burn in there either anymore. That building is, the concrete is shot. What they're talking about doing now is putting another small building off the back of that one story that will be approved to burn in, and saving this one for ladder and rope work, etc. No need to tear it down. I mean, you just can't burn in it. Just look from the other side. They got a great water source down over the bank from here. Yeah, that poor gal there, she's been through a lot of fires, you know. She's... So, if you go back and you look at everything we looked at, look at some of the similarities, you know, it's a shared service thing, you know. Everybody gets to use these other training centers. Like I said before, it's not simply fire. And it could be the answer to some of our space constraints, you know. 911 center. How many people here have been in the 911 center? Really? Show of hands. I know he has. I worked there for 12 years. They try and put 8 dispatchers in the same room. You're talking over each other. Art Snyder's a department head. He doesn't even have his own office. He shares it with a secretary.
Well, and I just want to say, due respect, from what I understand, when we were building the jail, there was space offered to 911 there, and it was turned down. So,
for a lot of reasons that I don't know. Some were technical, that's fine. Some were, and I'm not here to argue that.
No, I know. I just want, since we're on the record, I want to put that on the record there.
But there's a lot of water going over the dam.
There is.
Since the law enforcement center was open.
Yep.
Okay. We talked about this. We have a lack of storage space for county-owned emergency vehicles now. We have a foam trailer that sits in Bloomington. We have a second foam trailer that sits in Greenfield Park because there's no place to put it. We have 2 arson task force vans. One is at the county highway, and I understand they're getting evicted. I don't know where they're going with it. The other one is in the old Warsing station down there, a privately owned building again. Our MCI trailer is in New Pulse Rescue, privately owned building. And I don't know how many vehicles you have.
Our dive van goes to Ulster Hose. A couple of our boats go to the Ulster Hose station out on 9W, you know, north or just south of Sorgheys. You know, we've used Highland before for the wintertime. It's
a problem for us. And as I said before, you know, we have a center like that. It could be used as an EOC or a backup EOC. Who knows? You know, you get one of these terrorist attacks that get serious, maybe their first or second target could be to take out the existing EOC. So some of the givens that we know is it's not going to be cheap. You know, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a capital project. But if we don't plant the seeds now, this year, end of this year, next year, whenever.
Orange County's building a new burn center, $2.8 million?
$2.2 million.
Yeah, for the burn building.
Just the burn building.
Just the burn building. Yeah.
That so, one in Walker Valley would cost just about $700,000-$800,000.
Is that factoring in prevailing wage? Because if the county's building it, we're paying prevailing wage.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not what they paid. They didn't pay anything.
No.
Well, you know, Ken, when we were over Dutchess County, you know, looking at their survey, Tom mentioned the fact that they were restoring some of their buildings right now.
Yep.
Well, they're restoring, they have funded $3 million this year, they funded $3 million next year, and they funded $3 million the year after. And part of that is to do one other thing. We have pictures, but they weren't in here, that shows a lot of their county-owned vehicles are sitting on pavement in their training facilities in the weather. And so they don't have any storage.
Okay. We're in a home stretch here. Where do we go? Where do we start? We obviously need some kind of a master plan. Are we going to do this? Are you going to tell us to go away? We're blowing smoke? where are we going to put it? That gets into land acquisition. Obviously, we're only going to have one if we do have one, and we should try and centrally locate it in the county. What's centrally located in the county?
Vly Atwood.
Vly Atwood is the geographic center, right? The town of Marbletown. What's in the town of Marbletown?
Vly Atwood.
Ulster County Community College, right? Problem right now, Ulster Community College is there's no water. However,
they're putting a pipeline in.
That's going to change. They're going to tie the High Falls water system in for a long into time. The community college because they got a.
I think they're digging.
They got a water problem down here now. Funding is always a thing, and then we got to manage it and staff it somehow. Most of these places have one deputy fire coordinator that oversees the building, takes charge of it. I think it was Sullivan, the deputy, even cut the grass down there. He said he did pretty much everything. He cleaned the bathrooms, cut the grass. He did it all. So thank you for listening to us. And like I said, we're here, I think, between the four of us are here. Is there any other questions you may have?
Can you piecemeal it, Tom?
Yeah, you can start out.
It's been on our goals and objectives for the last 8 years now to build something up where the law enforcement center is. To house vehicles, because all our vehicles sit out all winter long, or we got to house them out to one of the fire companies. So is it something, you know, we could do something up there for all our vehicles, and then, you know, down the road then do a burn house somewhere, or, you know,
the burn
like that?
Right now, at least to the fire service, the burn building is the most important thing. And like I said, the only one we got is Walker Valley. That's privately owned. They let most departments use it, but they could say, you know, go away. You know, the buildings, you're killing us. No more.
Right, they could say at any time. You know, one of the things that we have to look at as far, or someone has to look at, is we burn in that tower, right? And you can't be in a real good residential area or something. You've got to be out of the way, right? And if you're not, people are going to complain. And that's what was voiced almost every place that we went, you know, where they picked and so on and so forth. And like Walker Valley right now is hosting for the state, two state courses, all right? Not actually in Walker Valley, but they have to come to Walker Valley and then they do the burns. And the reason is we can't go anyplace else. Next spot, if we get one up here too much, we're going to go to Greene County. Because until Ulster is fixed, and that's a long ways to go, you know. But it's also a long ways to go for someone here to travel the Walker Valley. It's 30 miles, right? And that's on a good day.
To answer your question, could you piecemeal it? Yeah, the burn building, like I say, is the most important part to us. And then you can add as time goes on. You know, you can add a garage, you can add classrooms. You saw Sullivan. They did it all in one piece. They put the garage and they put the classrooms attached to the end of the garage.
And is there somebody actively looking for grant money?
No.
Not right.
We got to get somebody's approval here, and we got to get somebody excited about this project.
We have people on our job that are good at that, so we could help.
That'd be great. One of the things, like we talked about fire, but we're also talking about with you is tear gas and stuff like that. Corrections came in Walker Valley and did a tear gas show. All right, the center of town couldn't come out of their buildings, right, because it got a little bit too hairy. But here's the example that, you know, the college as an example, or New Paltz, but New Paltz is not the center. You know, the college is closer.
And can I just throw out a question? I know I've asked this a bunch of times, but I feel like it's important to ask it here tonight too. Would Walker Valley and Woodstock travel to Vly Atwood or the college or wherever it's going to be to train? I mean, we have to recognize that the county is a geographic size of Rhode Island.
Also, one of the things is, I think Sullivan County, all state courses are taught at the training center.
They don't do. We do now what the state refers to as outreach programs, right? We go to firehouses, and some of the courses are purely classroom courses. You never go outside. Some of them are hands-on, whether you're cutting up cars, whether you're working with ropes, with jaws, you know, whether you're putting out fires, working with ladders. So those are the ones that when you, and I just, Charlie Mutz just gave me the training responsibilities. I'm a, one of Charlie Mutz's deputies too, besides being on the fire advisory board, two different hats. I got the training responsibilities now. And when you schedule a course, you gotta look at where you put it. Are they, can they handle it? Can they, do they have the facilities to do it? But I don't think we wanna get in a position like Salva did, to mandate, okay, all courses will come out of this building. You gotta travel to this building. There's no reason why you can't take one instructor and drive him to 30 people instead of having 30 people drive the one instructor. That's part of my philosophy.
And your question was, would they come? I would probably say according to the course. According to the course.
Well, and
if it's right now, Walker Valley has a tower. Who says how long it's going to be there? You know, it's meant to be there for 20, 30 years, but who says? You know, if somebody screws it up, all right, and burns and opens it up instead of confining it to the rooms, it could go down.
Yep. Now, just for the benefit of everybody here who doesn't have the privilege of sitting in the fire advisory board on a monthly basis, how many instructors does it take to teach a Firefighter 1 class? Firefighter 1 is the class you need to take to be able to fight fire.
Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, 4.
There's lessons that have one instructor, there's lessons that have two, and there's lessons that have four.
Yeah.
And burning is when they have the most number of instructors, correct?
Yes. That's a state prerequisite. You know, we have to have them. You know, there's no, maybe we don't use, we'll use Tom as an example. All right. And he's in a fire department, he knows all about fire. We can't. It has to be a state instructor. Now, some
state and county instructors. Some county instructors can be supplemented.
But well, they can only do certain courses.
That's correct.
They can't do all the courses.
But I'll give you a number. Orange County has 22 county instructors. Of that 22, 7 of them are state instructors. Their budget, just because the state don't pay for county instructors, their budget is $117,000 to pay county instructors every year.
Now, one of the things that I have to look into for the benefit of the committee is... I want to say 3 years ago, I fought to put in money in the county budget to buy equipment for two more county fire instructors, because I was told by the fire advisory board, with a couple more county fire instructors, we could teach more classes, use less state fire instruction hours. We now are back to only having two county fire instructors, down from the four that we have, and I got to find out why, because the money's in the budget for four.
I think one of them I know went over to be a state instructor, right? We had two of them that were going to go over to be state instructors.
Right.
Mark Brown was the other one, and then he became chief of the City of Kingston Fire Department, so he couldn't devote as much time in the training as he used to. So he backed off. He says, I want to maintain my position as a county instructor.
And, so we're down to three.
Why the other two aren't there, I don't know. You'd have to ask. Like I say, first April is when I took over the training responsibilities.
And it's a conversation I have to have with Charlie. But anyway,
we have, from some of the places we went, we have their plan from zero to finish what they have. All right. One was from Chet Garrison, all right, from Greene County, and Sullivan County is Martinkovic.
Yep.
All right. And they both were state instructors, but they ended up to be coordinators and emergency management something, the new title.
In some of the counties, the fire coordinator and the emergency manager are one and the same. And they do everything. They wear two hats.
In Orange County, it's a weird setup. They have emergency management, and they have multiple people under that.
Yeah, I know. Dick Martinkovic, he's involved with the Sheriff's Department heavily down there with some of the programs like the DWI and stuff like that. He's very involved with that. But everybody said, you know, this is probably the worst possible time in the world to come up with this program, because we're going to the county and we're looking for millions of dollars to put in a new radio system. But going back to what I said, you know, we got to plant the seed sometime. I think everybody will admit there's a need for it.
Last time they did a survey, there were, 250?
Approximately. We'll start right in the beginning. Approximately 160, and that's where John and I had a discussion. So we held five Firefighter One courses, of which we got paid for four, and we did one for nothing.
Right.
Just to do it, okay? And that was Chris Ray, myself, and a couple others. And we did it up in Glasgow, was it? Or?
Yeah.
All right. So we had 160-some. So if you take 20 times 5 is 100. All right. So how many we got left after a year? 200?
Well, there's new members coming in every year, thank God, because...
This past Saturday was the new recruitment in New York State for volunteers.
One of the problems, we get 1,300, is it, hours, or 1,600?
I think 1,500 and something.
We get...
We just got upgraded.
It's training hours budgeted by the state that the state will pay for the county.
Right, but a county instructor can't teach Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2. They can help.
They can supplement, but they can't, yeah.
The number just keeps multiplying. It's getting to a point that a Firefighter 1 course, it eats up approximately 100 and some hours, 120 hours.
Yeah, the course, it's 100 some hours. It's 87 hours for the student.
That's going to increase.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, they're going to up.
State's going to increase that.
And due respect to present company, the fire services are aging out, and we need to find younger people to take the place.
Mm-hmm. Which means more training.
Correct. Which is part of the exponentially increasing number of students that need Firefighter One.
It's not just the Firefighter Ones. That's kind of the basic. That's the primer that gets you off the ground, right? Every time you turn around, there's something else coming down, you know? 25 years ago, nobody talked about hazmat. Okay, now hazmat incidents come along. Oh, who should we give that to? Give it to the fire service, right? There's a lot of fire departments that are running EMS calls.
Hey, Tom. How many firefighter organizations are there in the county?
52, I believe.
How many are paid?
One.
Kingston.
City of Kingston.
That's it?
Everything there's some paid EMS around the county. I think New Paltz Rescue is paid EMS.
Yeah. But a lot of the EMS agencies are in bigger trouble than the fire department. I think it's, first of all, not everybody can do EMS. Not everybody has the constitution for it. There's a lot of mandatory training before you can even ride the ambulance for EMS. So they're hurting for members.
Bad.
What a lot of the departments have done, they've put on a paid medic, paramedic. I don't know if you're familiar. You have the standard first aiders, you have an EMT, and then you have a paramedic. Those are kind of the ranks and the training levels. Woodstock has a paramedic that they pay 24/7. New Paltz pays their paramedic. Allendale pays their paramedic. Shandaken, exactly. Yep, Shandaken pays their paramedic. And the ambulance is staffed by a volunteer driver and a volunteer EMT, usually. If they get to a call and it's a BLS or basic life support call that doesn't require a medic, the medic usually takes his own vehicle. It's usually like a Suburban or carryall, something like that, you know. And he can go back into service and remain in the town. And the basic life support, the EMT and a driver, you know, they take the patient into the hospital. It's a long ride from Shandaken to Kingston Hospital.
Oh, no. I'm just curious, have you gone to the different towns and talked to them about also contributing? You've got 20 different, what do you got, you said 52 different
departments? No, we got to get it. Like,
I mean, if it's going to be a joint effort, then it should be a joint effort with everyone, including the county,
but
the towns.
Our take is it should be a county-owned facility, right? So we got to start somewhere, and I think you got to start with a master plan.
The question is, if you're going to have a county-owned,
pardon me?
So do you have one?
No.
Okay. Well, I think isn't that what Art Snyder and Charlie Mutz get paid for?
I mean, this is where somebody else has to come in because Tommy can't say anything.
I understand, but you know, you're coming to us. I'm 40 years in Ellenville First Aid Squad, so. You know, I'm with you, but I mean, the preaching needs to come from the preacher, and the preacher ought to be Art Snyder and Charlie Mutz. I mean, they're especially Charlie.
The gospel.
Well, he gets paid to be the fire service coordinator, So he should be coming up with what, as far as I'm concerned, what he needs, and then sell it.
Our take was, number one, we had recognize a need, solicit information, do some homework, traveling around to the other jurisdictions, and then say, come to the county and say, can we do this? And you saw my second last slide, said, where do we go from here? And that's why we're here. Where do we go from here?
Maybe as a committee, we bring Art and Charlie in and say, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do if Walker Valley stops letting everybody burn there?
Or the fire advisory board needs to say to Art and Charlie, you know, it's important, and start coming up with something.
Well, the concern, I'll tell you, I've been on the fire advisory board since 2008. The problem is that, you know, Art and Charlie aren't beholden in any way to the fire advisory board. There's nothing the fire advisory board can do that would affect them. That's what the legislature has.
All right, so Charlie's the fire guy. What does he say? Do you need this or not? Because if he doesn't say you need it, you're not selling it. Because the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go to Charlie and say, you're a fire guy. Tell me, what do you need? If he says, well, I don't think we need it.
9 out of 10 fire advisory board meetings, Charlie is not there. One of his deputies presents. Yeah, I think there's, what, 2-3 deputies on the fire advisory?
Two. Myself and
Ed Wilhelm. Yourself and Ed Wilhelm, right.
Believe me, I'm with you.
I think the other part of this is probably going to be questioning why you didn't come to him anyway.
I think it has to start with Charlie and come through with basically what he needs. And as Paul said, you know, in a step process, and then from there you can get some semblance of an idea of what it might cost, and then you look at capital projects. And I'd be very supportive of that. Like I say, I have 40 years in EMS in Ellenville. Yeah. I know, EMT, I know. It's important. It's not getting easier. You know, all the courses are just getting longer and longer. For whatever reason, I don't know, but that's another topic.
And
so I think that's where we need to go.
In addition to that, in the meantime, Walker Valley is the only place we can burn. It's a privately run facility. Like you said, it costs $10,000 to replace a room full of panels. I would be in favor of having the legislature in this year's budget appropriate some money to help Walker Valley replace the panels.
I don't have a problem with that. I think we could make that.
There used to be money. Charlie did have some money in his budget several years ago. He said, and this is before I was a deputy coordinator, it was like $1,000 he used to give to the people who had a burn facility. Woodstock, Walker Valley.
If he asked for it.
And Ulster. If he asked for it, he says nobody asked for it, so he took it out of the budget when he was under the gun to cut the budget.
Now, each facility, there's one of a Worsing, too. I don't think that was on the presentation, but you can't burn there either.
Yeah. They don't have a burn tower.
Well, Worsing and Ulster are consortiums of different departments that come together and dues.
Our training facility, which I'm on the board of directors, I happen to be the vice chairman, and we have representatives from each of the fire companies that started the training center. It's all volunteer. We get no money from any. We don't have any. We don't get money, okay, from anybody. We fund it, ourselves. Everything that we do, and it happens to be on Town of Ulster property. However, the buildings and facilities and everything else is owned by the association, which is a
501c3. I personally want to move on and give these gentlemen an area to go. I think personally what you do is you come up with a bit of a plan. Part of that is put some money in the budget for reimbursement to Walker Valley. We're going to use it. It's, you know, great, but it has a wear life. Put some money in the budget. I'll go meet with Charlie.
I'll go with you.
I don't mind wasting the afternoon. How I feel. But that being said, we will do our due diligence to say if this is what you need, then he's going to make that presentation.
This effort actually started from the black hatters in the field. You know, we got guys that'll in the northern end of the county. They go to Greene County every once in a while and take some training and some classes. Mm-hmm. We got guys that go to Sullivan County. He's got guys like the Highland, the Milton guys, you know, they'll go across the river. And they come back, and here I am standing there with my coordinator's hat on, and they say, boy, they got this. How come we don't have anything like that? So you stand there with a red face, and you say, I don't know. So if you want to be, you know, Monday morning quarterback, you can point fingers all day long and say, why don't we have it? Whose fault is it? Who was asleep at the switch? Was it the fire coordinator? Was it the fire advisory board?
And I'm about to say something unpopular again. That happens a lot. I'm used to it on the being on the fire advisory board. You know, Dutchess County's got that nice training center with all the bells and whistles, and right now they're spending $6 million a year to board inmates out because they haven't built a jail. So there's a lot of other things, a lot of choices that have been made along the way that may have put us in a better or worse financial position, but it's got something to do with it.
What's the IRO? ROI, okay, for all the volunteer hours, okay, in Ulster County for all the emergency management systems, and if nobody provided that, how would the county go about doing that?
I agree with you. Right, and that's why we're here.
Let me get Don. Don?
I got a couple of questions, sir. One was interesting, and that has to do with almost every volunteer on anything that the counties and the towns, and we exist with volunteers as a society. And whether you're doing after school training, or you're doing volunteer fire department work, or you're doing something else, volunteerism is what makes a society a society. And without it, there would be a lot of pain. That's like a discussion in itself.
What Tom said before was, excuse me for interrupting, what Tom said before was true. We have a great volunteer, guys that volunteer today, but they're aging and they're moving.
Absolutely
and
true.
Nobody's volunteering from
another topic altogether.
Behind
us. But the point of the matter is we don't exist without volunteers. Yeah. Plain and simple. In everything, not just here. Well, my question has to do with, I looked at one of the slides that you, or pictures that you had shown, talked about staffing and maintenance and all kinds of things. And a lot of money to build one of these things, along with land acquisition. I think the place to start is what DJ was doing, what everybody's been talking about, is to get your hands around something in a time where budgets are really tight. And we've got a $20 million request on the other side. There's just a lot of things that cost a lot of money that are coming forward, and it's hard to get agreement if you don't have your hands around what it is you're agreeing to. And I think you need to at least start on that process.
Quite honestly, I don't think we're qualified.
Well, somebody has to.
The fire advisory board doesn't have a budget, first of all, right? So we can't go out and hire an engineer or something and say, do a study for us and come up with a proposal so we can take back to the legislator for funding.
All right, let's do this.
But how do we know what to fund if we don't have something to fund?
Well, let's do this. Ken and I will hook up. I mean, anybody else in the committee is willing to join us. We'll get in touch with Mutz and Charlie and say, look, we hear them. What can we do? You're the fire guy. Tell me what you need. Let's look at what else we have from a class. We have classroom situations, but let's look at it. What's most important? Let's buy one thing first and go from there, and report. Give us a month or so to do that. And fire advisory board is what's the fourth Wednesday.
Fourth Wednesday.
I don't know if he's thinking.
So we may not get it for May, but let's.
Charlie's on vacation right now, so he's out of town.
All right, so let's do that. Get back, have a semblance of what he's looking for, what he's willing to do, what he's willing to fight for, and ask for. From there, we can look at maybe through planning and like that. Go ahead.
After you do that, all I said, you guys can use, you can use this grant writer. So if they can come back with something that they feel is feasible, something that's suitable, that meets with what you are looking for, then at least he can let you use his grant writers to go out and do a study on how to put this together, what's available, and
okay.
If you're looking for an engineer to draw something, maybe they can find money to have that put together. But first, you got to decide what it is you want.
I thought when you went for a grant, though, you had to have kind of a finite plan and say, this is what we want, and this is what it's going to cost.
But that's why he's going to, is that why you're going to go talk to Mutz?
Yeah, I want to find out what the hell does he want. I mean, maybe we look at a burn building and it's
so once he, depending
once he on where we
back
put
back
it
with that, then you have
you use classroom space. On
what you, I'm assuming
that'd be
what
the benefit
for
of having it at the college.
Those
details, use the college's classroom space.
His grant writer can at least begin to write grants to see about getting money for an engineer to put together a plan.
But we got to get there. That's the first step, I think.
And there is unused space at the college, but like Tom said, the only problem there is water, and that seems to be being solved.
All right. What else we got? Anything else?
To find out what money's available.
First of all, gentlemen, I appreciate all of your service because I know it's a thankless job. But you get thanked in other ways that other people don't understand. So
that's just true.
But thank you for your service.
If I didn't, I wouldn't do it.
And thank you also for understanding that it takes time, but that we hear you, and we'll start getting the process going and go from there. Go ahead.
Just you opened it up by saying, what else do you have? I just want to bring another fact home, and that is that although we have a temporary situation that addresses the paging of the fire services, it doesn't address the age of the equipment and the status of the equipment on the various hilltops and also at the 911 center. That is an ongoing issue that has to be programmed into the equation as we move forward. The communication system is not good. Paging on VHF is not going to fix the problem. It's just going to augment the capabilities of paging on low band for the foreseeable future. But those transmitters that work on the VHF hilltops are very close to the same vintage as the ones that do low band. So we can't take our eye off that communications ball either.
And I've had that conversation with Art Snyder, and with the second survey that came out with the higher percentages where I think fire companies maybe finally took it seriously instead of shooting themselves in the foot as they did the first time. He has told me that he will probably bring it up as a capital project for the next budget cycle.
Okay.
So I do that.
I'm waiting to hear, not probably, but...
Well, you know what?
It now
you
is.
Know what? Your fire companies have not helped themselves in this.
I understand.
So they shot themselves in the foot.
I understand.
And now other people are running, but I'll have another conversation with Art on it, though.
The problem with the fire companies is they created all these little islands. They went out and they put a lot of money into their own private radio systems because the county failed them, in plain words. Like I said, I dispatched off the hill for 12 years, and I can tell you where the communication problems are in this county.
I can too. I've done it for 40 years. And
we sat up there.
If I had a dollar for every time some guy in the 911 center said it was something with my radio, when all of a sudden I did nothing and it worked because maybe he turned down his television or flipped to the other tower, but don't get me started. Because the attitude is a mile long up on that hill, and I get tired of it. So, right?
A couple of things. As far as cost, on a couple of the areas we went to, and we can't pin ourselves that that's what it's going to cost. It costs between $5 and $7 million to do the whole complex. All right. And piecemealing is the way to go. All right. That's it.
And I'll just close with this. Charlie's the first guy's got to come on board. I know how tough that is, and I hear your frustration. Believe me. I'll just let it be. That. You can type that however you want. If nothing else, I'll go to with our committee. And again, gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any old business in the committee? New business? Then if not, move to adjourn to the school. Legislator Rock, second. Legislator Gregorius, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? We shoot you if you do. Okay.
We do, Aaron.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Oh,